everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 298 for Thursday, July 21st, 2016. Welcome to the show. I'm Phil Nickinson. I am home. Can I tell you guys how good it feels, Russell, Alex?
How good does it feel?
You can, because it's going to be a busy August for all of us. So, well, for me,
it feels really good to be home. I'm not going anywhere for like a whole month, almost, that I know of.
So, are you? I think you're going somewhere in August and also somewhere else in August.
I don't have anything scheduled till September, so we'll see.
Do you? I can think of at least two things, but never mind.
I'm just saying, right now, all that is officially on my schedule is IFA in Berlin, so I'm looking forward to that.
That's a good thing to have on your schedule.
Yes, absolutely. How goes it out there? If it is your first time joining us, welcome to the show. We do this once a week, occasionally more, but never less. It's been a long time since we did less, actually.
We're pretty good about sticking to that schedule. And Speaking of...
Yes, do you want to go ahead and plug your own stuff?
No, actually, I was going to say we only got two more weeks until episode 300.
That's true. Russell's kind of mad at me because I haven't planned anything for 300.
I've been asking. I hope it's something fun.
Can't be any more fun than what I just did.
Yeah. I think I'm just going to drive down to Phil's house and be like, hey, so I'm here. We're going to do 300.
That'd be fun. I do want to pimp what Russell's been doing because I'm super excited about it, if only because it means we get to mention the word Pokemon this early in the show. But Russell is doing a dedicated Pokemon podcast.
Yeah, it's called Go Time, and it's with me and Jen Carner and Aaron Smith, and we're going to toss a few more people in there at some point. But we're having so much fun playing the game that we're doing a podcast just talking about the stuff that's happening in the game and the people that we're interacting with in the game. And it's one person from each of the three factions. There's a little bit of smack talk between the teams, but mostly it's just having fun playing the game.
It doesn't mean we're never going to talk about it on this show. And in fact, I think we'll talk about it a little bit today. But wanted to save like the super uber nerdy Pokemon type stuff for you guys. And I'm excited. You got a lot of people listening to you already.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, and if there's one thing I can do really well, it's get nerdy about something. So
we'll leave a link in the show notes for this where everybody can go find that. But I listen to it. It's a fun listen.
Yeah, we had some fun with that. And it's great. This week we were lucky enough to have everyone at the same place at the same time.
Right.
So we were all sitting around a microphone doing this. So it's I think that's a lot more fun to be able to see people and get their reactions as you're saying stuff.
Not like this podcast.
Yeah, you can't see anybody. If only there were video for this podcast.
If there was video, we could also have like a Pokemon counter to count the number of times you say Pokemon on each podcast.
You're right.
Stop it.
Somebody should look into that.
Wow. So that's where we're at this point. It's been a long time since we had a voicemail. I don't know why people haven't been sending them. Why don't we kick things off this week with our lone singular voicemail? How about that?
Let's do it.
Hey, Android Central, Justin here from Grand Rapids. Just read a story about Salesforce only supporting a handful of Samsung flagships and Nexus devices for their app, and I was wondering if you think this is a sign of things to come, that we'll see major app developers picking and choosing only a handful of devices to support in order to limit their expenses and testing. Let me know what you think.
So, yeah, Salesforce has decided that it's only going to accept certain special phones for its... I don't know. How many employees does Salesforce have? I meant to look that up.
A whole bunch.
Yeah, it's pretty widely used.
And I think it's maybe more about that. It's more about that than it is supporting different phones, but you have to support employees with different phones. And on one hand, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, it's a private company. They can do whatever the hell they want. But at the same time, it kind of flies in the face of the whole
BYOD.
BYOD. I was going to say BYOB, and I was like, that's not right.
Those are different concepts.
Not yet.
Yes, not yet. It's a little early in the day. It flies in the face of bring your own device. And I don't know. On one hand, I don't care. They can do whatever they want. It's their Salesforce. It's their app. I don't know. You know, Russell, does that bother you any?
Well, I mean, there's so much to keep in mind there. I mean, when it comes to how Salesforce manages their stuff, they have to be responsible for the devices that they put it on. So on the one hand, it does fly in the face of bring your own device, but you're paying for a service with Salesforce, and being able to support that is something that they have to keep in mind and pay for. So, you know, making it work on every single Android phone is a lot of work, especially when you keep in mind how few Android phones right now are keeping themselves secure on a month-to-month basis.
Yeah, I think the one thing that kind of surprised me, I mean, maybe surprised, maybe it isn't, given the way that BlackBerry has gone about handling monthly updates and being very upfront about that, and just the business-centric nature of BlackBerry as well, that the Priv isn't in this list. It's just Nexus and Galaxy, right? So
yeah, that is weird, and that feels kind of lazy.
I have a number. Anyone want to guess?
4.
How many employees do you think they have?
Oh, how many employees does Salesforce have?
Yeah.
150,000.
No.
Yeah. Figured out his way out.
21,000 as of April 30th.
That's still it's not insignificant. Amount.
No.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people. Yeah. And it's, I don't know. I think for the breakdown of devices, the Nexus devices are kind of a no-brainer, right? You're always going to have the most up-to-date, most secure stuff on there, especially if the bootloader's locked and it's updated every month and that's just taking over. On the Samsung side, it's all Galaxy devices, right? Not just like the leading edge ones.
It's, what was it, like 5 and up,
okay,
or something,
so it's
like
not, it's not everything. Yeah. And that makes sense as well, because with the way Samsung's doing the security updates, it doesn't apply to everything, right? It's basically just this subset of very high-end, relatively expensive phones that are on the update track, and it's still not completely in line month to month, but you know, we've been talking about this a little bit internally in the past week or so. I have a year-old Samsung phone on my desk that got the July update a few days ago, and there are phones from this year that still don't have that. So they've, of course, they have the resources to do this because they're Samsung, but at the same time, they've been very open and very upfront about deploying those resources. And that combined with this, just the sheer number of all these Samsung devices out there, maybe not a surprise.
I do find it interesting. So here are the exact phones. They're supporting GS5, GS6, GS7, Note 4, Nexus 5X, and Nexus 6P. Not listed.
Not Note 5?
Yeah. I mean, at least it's not there in that, you know, subject to change, whatever. And all Android tablets are excluded except for the Note 10.1 and the Tab A9.7. So,
that's just silly.
That's weird. Yes, I'm just quitting. Someone picking that device names out of a hat at that point.
A little bit. Yeah, on one hand, it's dumb, but on the other, it's their thing, whatever.
Wait a minute, Note 10.1?
Note 10.1.
Note 10.1 from, like, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
It's got to be something that, like, a purchasing guy at Salesforce bought a boatload of them, and so now they have to have support them because that's what they have in the office.
Probably. Yeah, it sucks, but what are you going to do? I don't think it's indicative of trends to come.
No, I don't think so. I think Salesforce is a pretty unique example. And you know, they have to manage their costs when it comes to software development for that kind of stuff.
I have to wonder if they're, you know, working with Samsung on this as well. Like, that's a little too specific.
Sure. I'm sure that, you know, being able to work with Knox is a contributing factor there. I mean, Samsung did open that up quite a bit this year, so that wouldn't surprise me.
At the same time, they contributed a lot of that back to Android itself, which maybe is why you see that commonality there with the current Nexus devices.
Yep.
We will do some more emails here in a little bit. By the way, because I always forget, podcast@androidcentral.com. Record your voice. Send it to us. We love to hear from you. Do it. But yeah, we'll do more emails in a little bit. I want to talk about the Moto Z again. I know it's like the third show in a row for Moto Z. But for good reason, the reviews are live. Motorola has done a good job. They're no longer Motorola. They've done a good job milking this one. I've been using it for a week. I like it a lot. I'm going to have a hard time.
Which one do you like a lot?
I like them both a lot. So I use them pretty equally. So we have two phones, the Moto Z Droid Edition and the Moto Z Force Droid Edition, because Verizon.
Can we right all just audibly sigh when those names are mentioned?
Oh my God. Right now they're Verizon exclusives, so you have to say the full name at least once at some point. As I was recording stuff up in New York, I screwed up the name of that so many times, it was ridiculous. More so than usual. So I used them both. They're both the same size, 5.5 inches. The Force has extra battery. It has a higher resolution camera, 21 megapixels versus 13. And it has the Shatter Shield technology. Shatter Shield! I think you're supposed to say it like that. You have to at some point. And that goes back to like the old you know, Turbo Days. And is this the second phone to have it or third? Second one with his name, right?
Second phone to have it.
Yeah. And so the idea is you can drop the phone and your display won't crack. We'll get to more on that in a second. So other things you need to know. July 28th street date. You can pre-order it now. $624 outright for the Moto Z, $720 for the Moto Z Force. That's, I think, $26 a month and $30 a month if you do things monthly. We have all these Moto mods. Well, we have three and a half. One of them is the Style Shell, which is just your basic back that comes to the box with the phone. But you will be able to buy more of those starting at $14. They'll go up depending on, you know, style and material and stuff. I like the idea of that a lot. I can't stress enough just how freaking well these mods work. Moto nailed it. They nailed the implementation. They nailed the design of them. I mean, it works the way you would want this sort of thing to work. And I did an editorial today about, you know, here's just the basics of why these things worked where LG blew it. There's no kind way of saying that compared to the G5. This is just night and day difference.
I think we all knew LG blew it, but we needed someone like Motorola to show how this could work. In a modern device that isn't just this collection of parts with a bunch of weird joins that are gonna, you know, deteriorate and stuff over time. It's held together with magnets. So you would hope, no one worries about a smart case falling off the side of an iPad. It's the same kind of principle of keeping this thing on the back of a Moto Z. So,
And it's funny when people talk about this phone. It's so thin. I mean, the Z is like 5.9 millimeters thin. It's ridiculously thin. That's without the Style Shell on it. And you really don't want to... I'm not going to use the Moto Z, the regular Moto Z, without a Style Shell on it.
So let's just preface everything I say about these two phones with the fact that I have not even touched either of these two phones yet.
But sure.
For me, it seems like, okay, the base phone is ridiculously thin. That's all well and good. But you have a Style Shell in the box, but it is just a lump of dumb plastic. There's nothing that there's so much that they could have done in there, whether it's, you know, a really, really tiny thin battery that just adds a little bit of charge, or whether it's a Qi coil or something, anything, or a kickstand or whatever. I know that's something that could potentially sell you further down the line, but it just seems weird that they go to all this trouble of making the phone so thin and the one back that they include with the phone does nothing.
Yep. Well, I mean, it makes the phone more comfortable.
It does nothing.
Nicer to look at.
It does nothing.
It hides fingerprints.
True.
Yeah, it's. I'm never going to use this without it. The Z Force, yes, I could walk around. That the Z Force is, I think it's just a tad thicker than the Nexus 6P. So I would, you know, I wouldn't mind using that without a style shell.
The 6P is not a thin phone, so that's kind of significant, isn't it?
It's 7.6. I forget. I looked it up the other day. Yeah, it's not thin, but it's not thick either. So I would almost always use one of the style shells, I think. When you start putting on like the extended battery, and they have a bunch of battery packs. I had the Tumi one. Some reviewers had the Kate Spade one, which looked really nice, I thought.
How is the battery back on the regular non-force edition?
It still makes the whole thing feel, you know, a little thick, a little chunky. I used it on the plane ride coming home, and it got me, you know, from 8 a.m. leaving the hotel in New York to like 1 p.m. in Atlanta before it died and started using the phone battery, which is pretty awesome. That's pretty stellar.
Yeah, but so it's not like a battery that actually charges the phone. It uses one and then it uses the other, unlike the LG one, which charges one battery off another, which just makes no sense.
No, actually, it does charge the phone battery.
Right, but then it uses Kate's battery.
It has a couple modes, so it's kind of up to you how you want to use it. But yeah, so like it runs out. I'm sitting there on the plane, and I had all the other backs and everything I think were in my carry-on bag, which were up above me. So it's like, well, now what do I do? All right, I'll just take the battery off, and then I used it naked the rest of the way home, and it felt kind of weird. And the phone didn't have a thing on it either.
I wasn't going to say anything.
They tried not to laugh. They really did.
This kind of gets to my beef with having a phone so thin, and then the battery back adds so much thickness to it. It's like there's no happy medium in the middle where maybe it's just a 3,000 mAh battery, which is enough to get you through the day. You have to choose between 2,600 without anything on,
right,
or what is it? Another 2,200 in the battery back.
Yeah, 22.
So, yeah, 5,000 or whatever in total. And there's no happy in between where it's just like, okay, here's a phone that can comfortably get you through a day.
And let me run through the others real quick. So you have a speaker, a 6-watt speaker that's actually surprisingly loud. I was playing the podcast sitting there in Herald Square in New York, and I had to turn it down. It was so loud. And then you have a little Pico projector that does up to 70-inch 480p resolution, you know, movie, whatever. It shows the whole thing. I was playing Pokemon Go on the wall. It works really well. It's kind of fun. The speaker is, well, let me back up. The battery is $80. The speaker is $80. The battery is 80. Well, damn it. Now I just forgot my prices.
I mean, battery is 60-ish, 60 or 70. Yeah,
that sounds right. The speaker is $80 and the projector is $300, which is the price that you expect a projector to be, right?
A decent one. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's not surprising.
Is it a decent projector?
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, the contrast ratio is like 400-1, so it's not a great contrast ratio. You're going to need a dedicated place to use these if you want to use them for movies. I still could see, you know, business people on the road all the time expensing one of these and using the hell out of it. That's where it makes more sense.
You don't see you walking down the street projecting Pokemon Go onto the sidewalk?
I'm going to do it.
I'm going to do it. You just wait. I'm going to get video of it. It's going to be awesome.
I do not. They all work really well. There's not one of them that is done poorly. My question is, are those things reason enough to buy this phone? And I kind of posited this a little bit on All About Android the other night. If you haven't seen it, go watch me. I was great. So were the other guys. No, Flo and Ron are awesome. But are these mods enough to get you to buy this phone over something else? I just don't, you know, especially you have a battery that only charges one thing instead of an external battery and a cable that charges all the things.
I think they could have, again, going back to the battery and going back to the thickness of it, which surely contributes to why the camera situation is so weird with these phones. They could have gone just a little bit thicker and still have the module thing and still have that make sense and be a good idea, but without so many compromises with camera and battery life.
Yeah. And it's the same for the other mods, too. I mean, you have a speaker that only works with one phone. You have a projector that only works with one phone.
But then they it does have that over LG in that LG, you know, your LG, your G5 mods, sorry to break it to you, but they're useless now. Even the V20 isn't going to support the modular stuff, I guarantee it. So, whereas with the Z, you have the option of, okay, it's two phones out of the gate, so whichever one you buy, same mods that plug into it. And then they've guaranteed that the next generation is going to support all the same ones. So if you're that Motorola fanboy that you want to have that insurance that the mods that you buy this time around, you got at least 2 years out of them, then it's a good thing to know.
Yeah, it's tough. If you're a Motorola fan, absolutely. Really good stuff going on here. The fingerprint sensor, brand new, really, really good. It's a little odd because it's not also home button, but you'll get used to that soon enough, I think. Yeah, I mean, the mods, for as great as they are, is that a reason to buy this phone? And do have to say, again, these mods are supposed to work on the next Moto Z as well. That's super important. But today, for my money, why do I buy this?
I think you don't for the money. I mean, especially if you're paying outright. If you look at all the other options that you have out there for $500, $600, $700, you make so many cuts. I mean, the modular stuff is great, but to get that, you make compromises in terms of battery life, in terms of camera quality. If you're paying that much money, you have so many much better choices for camera and battery in a modern Android phone these days. And to say nothing of the Nexus phones we're probably going to have in the next month.
Yep. The cameras are pretty good. They're not great. Go look in my Instagram. There's a picture of the Empire State Building that I took with the OnePlus 3. I took the same picture the next night with the Moto Z, and it's not good.
This is good, not great cameras from phones that cost $600 or $700.
And we just can't get away with that anymore.
No, we can't.
Alex is kind of mad about it.
it's just a shame. How long have we said this about Motorola phones? It's the thing we used to say about Nexus phones, but at least that started to move on in the past year. They're still, and they've kind of meandered around in the past 2 or 3 years. We had the situation last year where the style, the Pure, whatever it was called, really great in daylight, absolute crap in low light. It's like they learned nothing from that, and then they just added OIS, and okay, the aperture's a bit better, but there's just been no... It hasn't jumped to the level of a Samsung and LG, whereas you would have thought, with the money of Lenovo behind it, that it really should.
Yeah, the daylight pictures I took were great. Have no problem with them. I think Andrew was nitpicking them a little bit, but I was fine with it, because you know, you're just going to be sharing socially and stuff. It was great. Yeah.
In a world where... in a world where the Galaxy S7 exists and you can double tap that home button and guarantee you're going to get fantastic shots every time.
Yep. And that OnePlus 3 camera surprised me too.
Mm-hmm.
That was,
yep.
You know, nice screwing everybody. OnePlus 3s.
Well, almost.
Yeah. Yeah. Russell, I'm going to send them up to you and let you take another look at them. Or
that's
at least
awesome. I'm really looking forward to checking out that Z-Force and comparing it to my existing Turbo 2 with the first Shatter Shield phone.
Yeah.
So about that Z-Force. Yeah, the Z-Force has Shatter Shield, which is supposed to keep the display from cracking should you drop it. Now, this is the sort of thing you have to test, right? It has to be tested. If you do not test it, you're not doing your job.
What'd you do, Phil?
I tested it.
What'd you do to my phone, Phil?
First, let me read to you the small print from Moto's site. This is important, especially because of other things we're going to talk about. The display and embedded lens are warranted against shattering and cracking for numeral four years from the original date of purchase. Scratches or other damage to the protective lens is not covered by this warranty, but should always be in place to prevent scratches and other damage to the underlying components. Here comes the really important part. This phone is not shockproof or designed to withstand all damage from dropping. That's really important. All other warranty exclusions included scratches and other cosmetic damage, intentional damage or abuse, normal wear and tear, and other limitations apply. So I took it outside. We fired up some cameras. We dropped the phone. And the display has not cracked. In fact, I can still 100% say with certainty that this phone works. Mostly. It is on.
What color is your wallpaper, Phil?
Black.
What color are your icons,
black
Phil?
The very darkest color owing to the absence of her complete absorption of light, the opposite of white.
Wow, how did it hear that? That was because I said black.
Right.
I was like, can it hear you? I was ripping my headphones off. Can it hear you guys? How did I just do that?
I think Russell asked the phone what the color black was all about.
Yeah, but how did I get that? How did I make that work? I don't know. Weird.
But either way, the phone is clearly functional.
Yes, the phone works.
But the display
it does not.
Has become unseated from the board.
That was the long way of getting to that, yes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Russell.
And so you've ruined the phone that I really wanted to try.
The good news is, Russell, you can have all kinds of fun with, heat guns and suction cups and just take that thing apart and just reconnect the ribbon cable and you're good to go.
That does sound like a good way to spend a weekend.
It sure does, yeah. It's going to be a fun weekend.
I also know I'm going to be getting a call from Moto after this podcast goes out. but no, it survived exactly how they say it should survive.
It's
scratched up. The display is pockmarked a little bit. Look, it wasn't until the last one that it died.
Yeah, and if you take a look at the video that Phil recorded, he dropped it 5 times from face height.
About 4 feet, yeah.
And these impacts onto to concrete, like, you know, the stuff on the other side of the display material clearly did its job. And that was what we found with the previous version too, is that it will not shatter.
But to play devil's advocate for a moment, broken is broken.
Sure.
Well, yeah, also warranties exist for a reason.
True.
I mean,
true.
And it broke on like the 5th or 6th drop. I forget which one. That's a very compressed time span. I don't imagine people will be dropping this thing from 4.5 feet.
For someone like my sister, that's like 6 months of use.
Yeah, it's insurance. It's not a feature.
Right. And it's cool. I mean,
and it's worth mentioning. And I think I put this in the review. If you didn't tell me that this thing had those extra layers on top of the display, I'd never know it. You can't
Which
tell.
Is a massive improvement over the previous version.
Yeah,
because the original Shatter Shield on the Droid Turbo 2, it was super noticeable. It didn't feel great. When you went to touch the screen, it kind of had a very plasticky feel to it. And so for them to have improved in that one generation that much, that I'm impressed with.
Does it still use that plastic OLED from LG?
That's a good question. I don't know. Mm. It's an AMOLED screen. But yeah, I thought it looked great. The only time I could tell is when it would get a little smudgy, get like dust and fingerprints and stuff on it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, any display is going to do that too. So, no, I was super impressed with the display. There's a lot about these phones that I like. When I sound excited in my video review, it's because I was. It's a good phone. it's a good phone that I have a hard time saying, yes, you absolutely need to go out and buy this.
I think the Droid Z2 is going to be really worth checking out. Once they get all the kinks worked out from this first generation, which there inevitably will be with any major first-gen products, I think the next round, if they stick at this, which they should, they've said they are, if they stick at it, then next year is going to be really good.
And the other thing, and I've written this once or twice, I think, is that I think this shows that Moto is still around. They're not going anywhere. Lenovo's not sending them out to die. And that's important. It's important for a number of reasons. But that in and of itself excites me.
I guess, but I mean, they're not just going to pack up shop, are they? Lenovo's own smartphone business has zero presence in the West. So it's like, what? they kind of have to keep it around. It's a case of how they manage that. And we've already seen at the lower end, things are looking less spectacular this year with the G4 and the G4 Plus. And we're in that transition phase now where things are coming under Lenovo's control. So we're still working through things. I think it's maybe 2017 we'll have a better idea of how things are getting in line and how the whole mod thing plays out, not least of which is, you know, beyond the initial mods that we have now, how do things progress in 6 months' time? LG promised us a bunch more mods. Zero have appeared. Is that going to be the case with these, or are we going to have this continual rollout through the next year going into the launch of the next-gen stuff?
Anything else on this?
I can't buy one yet, which is something, I guess. We're still waiting on the unlocked version in the US. I think it's, what, September for that? We have a Lenovo press conference at IFA, which I'd imagine might be where they, you know, the venue they used for the European debut of this thing, and we'll see if anything is unusual or unexpected there. But
I think Alex will have a Nexus phone before he's able to buy one of these phones.
Yeah, I think
which
you
is
might be
not
right,
good.
And I think this is the other thing. So a lot of the draw of Moto X phones, which is very much the predecessor of this, different brand, but whatever, was having this stock Android experience, and it you know obviously came from the fact that Moto used to exist under Google, but it used to be for people who wanted the stock Google experience with fast updates, which was kind of implied. They never really got that right all the way around the world, but with fast updates, with all these features on top, now a lot of the Moto features have been backported into Android itself, so that's less of a draw for people. Of course, Nexus isn't going to be modular anytime soon, but yeah, what is there just on the core product side to draw you away from a Nexus, which is, by the way, probably about 2 or 3 weeks away? It's a hard sell when they still have the stock look and feel, so it's more obvious that the Moto phone is out of date, say, in a month's time, because they have the stock notification draw, they have the stock UI, the stockish launcher, everything else. And it's like they put themselves in this more vulnerable position where it's more obvious that their software is out of date because it is so close to the original source. And of course, it doesn't bode well that Lenovo hasn't been so great about updating phones in the past year either.
And there have been questions about, Ron from Ars Technica had a graph in his review about how Motorola has said they're not going to update this thing monthly, which of course the friggin' game of telephone that becomes is Motorola, they're not going to update this phone. Something just doesn't smell right there.
Purple Monkey dishwasher.
What?
Never mind.
Oh, I think I get it now.
Yeah, okay.
That was funnier until I thought about it.
anyway.
Yeah, I've got emails out on that. While I believe that every manufacturer should be updating these things monthly, that's the point of doing it before it gets out that Phil doesn't care. They would not be the only ones to not do it every single month. And in fact, I still think we need to say again out loud that Samsung has done really well with that lately. I don't know. I got emails out on that. Something doesn't feel right about that.
And the line we have from other manufacturers is just because the Google patches aren't being rolled out doesn't mean the phone itself is susceptible to stuff.
Yeah.
So just because it doesn't have a particular patch version doesn't mean it's inherently vulnerable to the stuff that is in those change logs, because each phone is different.
So I get that it's easy to say that and be very worried about it, but there's a little more to it than that. Anything else on Moto Z?
How are you finding the whole headphone situation?
Like I wrote in the review, it hasn't bothered me yet. I expect at some point it will. So if you're way behind on this, the Moto Z does not have a 3.5 millimeter headphone jack. You're stuck either using You're stuck either using Bluetooth or USB-C adapter, which comes in the box. Because I use different headphones for different occasions, then, you know, I just got those Bose QC35s. So I use them on the plane with Bluetooth. When I mow the lawn, I'm not going to use those. And I have other wired headphones that I like because I have them and they work and they have good passive noise canceling. So I just plugged them in with the adapter. I will absolutely lose that adapter at some point. How do I buy a new one? Can I do that yet? How much does it cost?
And how quickly can you get it?
Yeah, exactly. These are questions I have. So it's not a problem until it is.
But it's inevitably going to be a problem.
Yes, I think it will be. So far, it has not been. But I think it will be at some point.
Unless you're just the kind of person that's moved on to the Bluetooth neck buds, which, I mean, that, you know, definitely not a majority, but I see people every day using them, like from just every walk of life.
So we'll see. What else? What else? What else? Any other questions? We've got a big forum thread going where people have been asking me questions and I've been answering them.
So they've gone back to AMOLED for both screens this time, I guess. Yep. What's the, we know it's AMOLED on the regular one. We're not really sure what it is on the Force, but how's it been going from last year, which was actually a pretty good IPS LCD in the Pure Edition, back to a Super AMOLED?
Last year's phone just didn't do anything for me. No, the AMOLED display here has been fine. Completely happy with it.
Cool.
Maybe not quite as good as Samsung, but pretty close.
I mean, Samsung tends to keep the best stuff to itself anyway, so.
Yeah. So. What else?
I think that's it. I can't wait for you to send me this box of parts so that I can reassemble this phone.
It's a lot of boxes I got to send you. What else? I think it's worth mentioning Consumer Reports and the GS7 Active. I don't know that we've talked about this in the podcast since all that went down. They tested two and they failed their water test where they have a pressure vessel and they put it up to like 2.17 pounds per square inch or something like that to simulate depth. And it failed. Both of them failed. And I wrote a thing basically saying, I don't care. I don't think I wrote it particularly well. I think I could have written it better. It's not that I don't care that they failed. I care in the same way that in our review of the GS7 Active, you see a bunch of sand got up in it. I care in that same way. It's two phones. I had one phone that obviously didn't quite work the way as advertised. So yeah, something's up. These things always have manufacturing issues. And in fact, Samsung came out just yesterday, I think, and responded to them and said, yep, we found something. We fixed it as of July 8th, which is, 2 weeks ago? We fixed it, so it should be good to go. We will honor warranties, you know, if need be, but we're not, you know, recalling everything or anything like that. That's kind of where I stood on that. And I was, in fact, in that initial post, I said, if I had to guess, and I think at this point we're all guessing, even if it's two phones, I don't know where their phones came from. Even if it's two phones, I think we're guessing as to whether it's a systemic problem or if it's just a bad batch or if it's early manufacturing, which, again, it happens all the time. So we'll see. But yeah, it turns out they fixed it. They found it. Cool. Life goes on. I don't know. Am I brushing that aside a little bit, you think? Wouldn't be the first time.
I mean, some of this should be taken seriously if nothing more than there are, even in our forums, examples of people having trouble getting warranties replaced. And I would have little problem with this, you know, manufacturing tolerances example if Samsung was just rapid fire replacing these things out, you know, like it was no problem. But the, you know, some people are being asked to send multiple batches of photos to justify their mm-hmm. repair. And to make it worse, there's not, I mean, it's not like a tremendous amount of these get sold compared to, you know, the Galaxy S7 to begin with. And you know, it's only locked to AT&T. So, I mean, there's plenty of people who don't know, you know, that this whole thing was even going on. You know, people who are going in and buying this phone. So I'm a little on the concerned side. But, you know, if Samsung actually fixed it and they're actually replacing warranty, doing warranty repairs in an efficient manner after this, then I don't think it's a huge deal.
And it's not that I didn't care that people's devices were getting ruined, because that's not good. But yeah, like, you have to keep it in context. And again, it's like anything like that. If you don't know how many you're talking about, you know, are we talking two? Or are we talking 20? And what's the total number? So I think it's worth mentioning. I think it's worth keeping an eye on. I think it's worth screaming at from the top of your lungs. But yeah, what else?
So we're rapidly heading towards Android 7.0 Nougat or Nougat or whatever being final. The final developer preview, which is kind of not so much adding new stuff beyond an Easter egg, but just about kind of polishing things up and improving performance a little bit and clearing up last minute bugs. I would imagine, given the state we are now and the schedule that Google stuck to, that we'll see something in the next few weeks as far as a final release goes. But that's progressing along very nicely, and I think that's a big deal for anyone that's running the preview. And of course, things are very, very nice and stable for anyone who wants to do that now.
Cool.
I think we have emails next.
Hey, by the way, I've got the new, newest developer preview on the Huawei Watch. It's actually stable. You could use it.
Ooh, I'll have to update mine, because I actually, it took me a little while to adjust to some of the changes that they made visually, but I kind of liked it.
It's cool. I'm totally jealous of you guys. I have a Moto 360 here that is not in that that developer preview thing. So, too bad.
Emails, huh?
Emails.
We should have an email song. Kyle wants to know, I love the idea of Moto mods, especially the power pack and the JBL speaker mods, but I can't help but wonder about theft. When it comes to my phone, theft is deterred at least a little bit because of the possibility that I have lock screen enabled and other safeguards from Google in place. But if someone were to see a Moto Z with a $60 plus mod on it, what is to keep some dishonest, unrefined, ill-mannered, vulgar excuse for a person from jacking the mod off my freshly purchased device? Oh, it's Kyle Briggs. I remember Kyle. Nothing.
Yeah, I think that if that ever becomes a thing, that is just a massive endorsement for Motorola. And you know, if we have like a crime wave of Moto mods, then that's probably an endorsement for everything they're doing there. I think it's going to take a while before that becomes the case. Probably what we'll see before then is if Apple ever gets around to doing something similar, which they're widely rumored to do with magnets and pogo pins and all this other stuff. If they do that, then surely we might have a situation where people won't steal your iPhone because it's easy to lock an iPhone down, but they will nick the mods off the back of it because it will be easy to sell those on the aftermarket. So we'll have to see how that plays out.
Really, how's this any different from a battery case on a phone? I mean, the battery case on my S7 just slides right off. Not that hard to figure out.
No.
I guess it's the difference between a physical connection and, it is a physical connection, of course, but the difference between something you plug in and that is slotted in versus something you just snap off with magnets. I don't know.
I mean, it's so, but they make S7 cases that are Qi charging that are not a physical connection. And there's not been a massive crime wave of those.
Yeah, no.
No, I think we're a long way from seeing accessory crime waves.
Christos says, I'm in the market for an Android Wear watch. Which device is currently offering the best value? Is there anything in the short-term pipeline that one might want to wait on? I don't know of anything incoming. I mean, there's been the rumors of the Google Watch. But I have a feeling something new is coming. It's been a while. It's been a long while since we've had any new watches, which is weird since we had like 20 watches at one time. But it's been so long. You got to think they're going to refresh the hardware a little bit just internally. And with this new, and it's a major, you know, paradigm change in the OS and in the way it looks and works on there. So yeah, I'm expecting new hardware. I would not buy anything right this second.
You'd almost think that with the, as much as things have changed, you might need new hardware that is designed around the way things work in Android Wear 2.0.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I tweeted out at some point, I'm expecting more buttons, not just the singular button. Especially, God, I mean, if you go back and look at the LG watch that got killed.
And then came back.
Yeah, and then came back. So, Trevor writes, Nougat pronunciation. Australians pronounce it the same as the UK version. You're incorrect. Yes, I know you don't care.
I don't care. I just don't.
That's why I'm just going to call it N for the next year. We have a year of this. We can get past it. It's fine.
I'm okay. Finn writes, I'll skip the words that say Pokemon just so people don't freak out. Do you think this phenomenon and the other Hydrein AR games to follow are sure to follow will lead to a proliferation of the modular add-on style of phones we see coming on the market? Or will the industry begin to relent on its obsession with thinness to increase battery capacity? So basically, will Pokemon Go lead to thicker phones with longer batteries?
No.
Or modules.
It's not going to change anything.
Yeah. No.
It's going to have to be so much more of a thing than it currently is. The current momentum behind it is going to have to be maintained over years for that to happen, because everything that's going to be released next year, the hardware is probably already more or less locked in at this point. And you would have to have a case where this thing is so successful, probably over a year or more before it starts to factor into the actual development of phones. It's not impossible, but it's very, very unlikely.
Michael asked, this was the guy, he was asking about the Bose Q35s and Bluetooth and the GS7 Edge and lag. And I have not experienced any lag yet. Like things were just out of sync. That's usually an app thing, though, right? Not a hardware thing?
Yeah, usually. It kind of depends, but I think in most cases it would be not hardware related.
What is this one? This is a long one. I gotta skip that. Uh-oh. There's somebody upset with Pokemon coverage.
Am I about to make a new friend?
Let's see. I get that it's too big for you to ignore. What bugs me is the breathless and uncritical tone of so much of the coverage. In a podcast like the one I'm listening to, where you spend a few minutes talking about the whole phenomenon, why not address some of the more serious issues that this is bringing up? Okay, let's do that. What is the privacy stuff? A glitch that exposes huge swaths of data for no good reason.
Didn't happen.
Continuing lack of clarity on what data the app is unnecessarily taking.
We already covered that.
Yeah, didn't happen. That's a significant story on its own. It was, and it didn't happen. It just did.
There was no data being covered. It was a mistake on the iOS version that was fixed almost immediately.
I mean, here, the TLDR on that was, it could have taken all that data. It wasn't taking all that data. That's the difference. And they fixed it. That doesn't mean it was good. That doesn't mean it should have happened. But it just didn't do that thing. I was explaining that to my daughter the next day because she asked me about it. She saw a headline in our local paper about it. I said, yeah, here's the thing. That's wrong.
And let's just take this one step further, because I was screeching about this on Facebook yesterday. Went to a birthday dinner with a grandparent, who my kids immediately started talking about Pokemon Go because they asked what was coming up. The next three things that I heard from the adults in the room that are over the age of 70 was all of the news stories about the terrible things that had happened while people were playing this game. Someone drove into a tree. Someone walked into traffic. Someone leaned off a cliff and fell while playing the game. And so naturally, this game is terrible for you because it encourages you to go out and do these really stupid things. And in no way is this the responsibility of the human beings that are holding these phones and doing these things. It is 100% the app's fault.
Nope. 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 Nope.
You can't have a conversation about personal responsibility and then go, oh, but this app is really bad. The app has tools in it that make it so that you can, you know, have your phone down at your side and have it still functional while you do things like walk across the street. You know, the software does not encourage you to, you know, wander off of cliffs or into lakes.
Or into graveyards or weddings. Or
right. These are, you know, people making bad decisions because they were going to make that bad decision to get something they wanted. If you put a cupcake in the middle of that cemetery and said, hey, there's a cupcake in the middle of that cemetery, that same idiot would walk into the same cemetery to get that cupcake.
It's a thing people do.
And now we have our show title.
Cupcake in the Cemetery?
Yep.
Ooh, here's another one. Taylor says, yesterday I was playing with my cousin and was explaining the difference between a non-OLED and an OLED screen. If an app is done right, black is off, and off saves battery. Is there a feature or app I don't know about that would force or convert any screen to a black and white mode? Would the savings be worth the trouble? No. I don't think so.
Yeah.
No, it's, and you're going to burn more in radio, I think, than you are in screen. Turn your screen down. So,
yeah, and as far as black being off, that only applies to OLED screens anyway.
Let's see, one or two more. Is there a chance for universal SMS and MMS? Asks Soul. Yeah, it's called WhatsApp and Snapchat and WeChat. And I
SMS and MMS itself is supposed to be universal. It's just not, and people like to charge for it, and it's a pretty terrible way to share anything that's not just plain text.
Oh, one more. Zach says, I just wanted to let you know that your Pokemon coverage didn't bother me, even though I find the game dumb. I work for an online publisher. Could work for you if there's a spot available. And I understand how your revenue model works. I commend you for your ability to push out so much so fast. Keep up the great work. See?
Look, here's... I think the really funny thing about this is that I could have started writing this stuff 3 weeks before we did.
Just nobody had any idea it was going to be that insane.
Right. This was... It was a reaction to people who were actively looking for things and asking questions. So,
you know something else I thought of? Is that I think people think that we get more money the more we publish about that stuff. Like, I don't see a dime. I just don't. That's not how that works. Yeah, I think that's it for emails. I feel like we forgot something.
Tell you what you forgot, Phil, was a very interesting leak this week on what looks like kind of an interesting new Sony phone. I'm kind of clutching at straws here, but it has been so long
since
we had a... It has been so long since we had an interesting Sony phone, a phone by Sony that's actually worth buying and worth talking about. And after a really, really weird generation this year with two phones in the X series, which one was just kind of weird and mid-range and not very good, the other had a bunch of issues with the screen and with a camera. Now this, I think, could be this larger device with a thicker chassis, presumably a bigger battery, a bunch of new camera stuff. Hopefully this is a return to form from Sony. It's something they really, really need if they're going to stay in this game, and if there's going to be something beyond just the current crop of really meh phones from them.
Okay.
As for what that will mean for the US, who knows? But
nothing. It's not going to mean anything for the US, and it's not. I'm done talking about Sony. Like. Entirely.
I
mean,
look,
I don't care.
I am almost done talking about Sony. The two phones they put out earlier this year did nothing for me.
They did more than nothing for you. You have angered in their general direction for like the better for most of 2016.
I think
this
we all
has
have.
Been...
Look, I reviewed it, and it was just the original X, and it was just this boring plastic nothing of a phone. And then Andrew reviewed the X Performance, which was a boring plastic nothing of a phone with slightly better CPU. And it just seems like this is this very mediocre phone propped up by marketing buzzwords, whereas what they have for the later half of the year might be something bigger. Obviously, they've taken attention to the camera. It's not just the same sensor and lens from the Z5, which I think was the last one. So they're doing new stuff in the camera. The thing is bigger, so it's going to have a bigger battery. They're not just sticking around the same 2900, slowly edging back towards 2600, which is what they were doing with the current generation. I would like to think Sony still has it within them, at least in Europe and Asia, to make a good phone. And maybe they'll never crack the US market, but I would, part of me says, okay, they've disappointed for the past 2 years now. They kind of deserve to be out of this industry. But the fact is they can make good stuff when they want to. And I would like to see Sony make another good phone in the second half of this year.
I would too. I'm just not holding my breath.
I'm half holding my breath. If you can do that, we'll see. Whatever it is will be at EFA, or we can judge then. But yeah, we'll see.
Anything else, Russell?
Yeah, actually, really quickly, the T-Mobile deal.
Oh yeah, speaking of Pokemon.
Yeah, this was actually this was going to be the one thing we talked about this week that was Pokemon related. It turned out we had four because we care. But yeah, so T-Mobile zero rated Pokemon Go. They said, you know, you get unlimited data for Pokemon Go, and you know, that weird buzzing sound in the back of my brain got a lot louder, and things like net neutrality and things like that started coming out of my mouth, and Dan Bader actually wrote the things that were happening in my brain. So they called him, the people who read the article called him a T-Mobile hater instead of me, which was a nice change of pace. But I took some time to actually look at it after it came out, and I'm actually perfectly fine with the way they implemented it. It's an opt-in system. Basically, if you are any T-Mobile customer and you play Pokemon Go, you opt into the ability to zero rate the Pokemon Go thing, where, you know, it's free data. And it's not, the game doesn't use a lot of data to begin with. We've already, you know, run a bunch of tests, and, you know, it's not, you're not really getting a whole lot. This was a big publicity stunt on behalf of T-Mobile, but it was done really well, I think. It was, you know, really jumped on that opportunity, and you know, props to John Legere and his team for rolling that out as quickly as they did. But yeah, I didn't see any reason to be unhappy with this. You know, this was way better handled than what they did with Binge On and Video, I think.
Well,
which means they're learning. It makes me happy.
And you're missing the one important part here, and that's that Pokemon Go just doesn't use that much data.
Well, no, I did say that. Yeah, it doesn't. You know, I have someone locally here who is a Project Fi customer, only pays for the 1 gigabyte of Project Fi, has been playing Pokemon Go every single day since it came out. And I think just yesterday came close to their 1 gig limit, you know, including their daily usage. So really not a big deal.
On thehill.com, White House weighs in on Pokemon Go. Use some common sense.
Oh, did you just read that?
Yes.
Man, I'm so sad.
That was today. There was another one I read somewhere that Washington is, you know, they want to know how much data it's using. And Al Franken, God love him. There's a really good podcast a couple of weeks ago with Al Franken and David Axelrod. Al Franken he's got our back, and he wants to know what data we're giving and it's being used and how it's being used. And I guess he can't read websites like everybody else, so he shot off some questions.
He is really super good about getting excited about something.
Yeah, and I mean, I would rather somebody get excited about
things. A little bit of follow through would be nice.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's. I get why, but
at least he's doing it. Unlike, you know, to you know, shift weirdly political for a second. Unlike the majority of Congress and Senate that just seem to barely understand how half of this works.
Yeah, and I would rather somebody get excited when they don't need to, and at least ask the question.
Right. At least have some kind of, you know, awareness that.
Yeah.
I'll accept that.
All right, I think with that, our PokeCast is over. podcast@androidcentral.com. Send us your voicemails. Send us your emails. We're not going anywhere just yet. Or ever.
Send us a few ideas for what we should do for episode 300, too.
Yes.
Yeah, what did we do for 200?
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
That's not true.
Didn't we do some kind of giveaway? Or was that 250?
I don't remember.
It was before I was working here, and you asked me to do a video with a bunch of phones on my face.
I did. I think 100 we did, like, everybody calls in and says, hi, we love you, like Dieter and Mickey. And
oh, 200 was that weird special edition HTC One M8, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
That we gave away.
Ah, that's right. That's right. Very good. Very good. All right, that's it for this week. Go subscribe all the places. Go follow us on all the things, the Instagrams, the Snapchats, the Twitters. Oh, by the way, we didn't talk about that. Twitter opened up verification for everybody, sort of. We have a lot of people here who haven't been verified.
I did. I keep rubbing it in Andrew's face.
Yeah, I got it. Andrew didn't.
I haven't even tried yet. I think I'm just going to stay unverified because it's cooler that way.
Might as well. Yeah, I mean, it was just kind of funny.
It's like, who even... Yeah. You just look like a tryhard if you're verified now. Sorry to break it to you, Phil.
Yeah. In case you couldn't figure it out, it was me before. whatever. So, anyway, go follow us on all the things. We will be back next week with more Pokemon and other Android stuff. But a lot of Pokemon. Hopefully not so much Pokemon. Go listen to Russ's Pokemon podcast.
We'll definitely be less Pokemon next week.
Go time. See ya.
Later. See you later.